the Savior, Andrew, the Apostle Paul, others, they had a passion for souls. They reached out to others with the gospel of Christ. The gospel wasn't to be hid by them. It wasn't their secret lifestyle. It was a message that had to be shared. Why? Because it is the greatest message in the world. And dear believer, you and I need to understand that and live in light of that. The message of the gospel that we preach, that we believe, that we hold to, is the greatest message that the world has ever seen. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Leads to evangelism. One of the hallmarks or characteristics of the true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is that they have an evangelistic heart. They have that desire to reach others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as they were reached through friends or family or through the ministry of the church, just as they were pointed to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world themselves. So they have that desire to reach out with Christ's gospel to others. Do you have an evangelistic heart today? Is your Christian life marked by a desire to reach out with the gospel, to tell others of their sin and their misery in the sight of God, and to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer, the only Savior? May the Lord bless his word as we consider it today, and may you pray that the Lord would give you a desire to reach others with his gospel.
Spurgeon. We often speak of Spurgeon and that man within the church who stepped in one snowy Sunday morning. The pastor didn't show up, and this man went up and he preached, and Spurgeon was going somewhere else but was sidetracked because of the weather, and he went into this church and he's warming his hands and trying to get warm after the storm. And the man preached, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." No preparation, no education, just a simple man. And if I stood up and preached that sermon, it would last not very long, and you'd wonder what is going on. But yet God used that message. Very simple, very straightforward, and God saved young Spurgeon. And how marvelous it is to think of a man who was unsuited to that task, but it fell upon him that day, and God used it to save a soul. Not only did God use it to save a soul, God used that soul that was saved to affect the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of people. The little seed that was sown that day, by the grace of God, it grew into a great forest. Dear believer, if you're faithful to the Lord and you prioritize evangelism, God can do great things. You may have no idea of those great things that God may have done. But be faithful. Be a witness. Andrew is known a little in Scripture, but he is outshone by Peter. Peter was used greatly by the Lord. And Andrew's faithfulness, Andrew's zeal for his own brother, led to Peter coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of this, what about your priorities? Are your priorities that of the world, or are your priorities that of Christ? Thirdly, I want you to see that his faith led to a persistency for souls. His faith led to a persistency for souls. Andrew, in this passage, demonstrated some holy persistency in bringing Peter to Christ. And if we want to do anything for our Savior, if we want to serve the Lord, we need to be persistent. We need commitment. We need dedication. Andrew had to be persistent in seeking Peter. Why? Well, the Word of God tells us he first findeth his own brother Simon. Let us go back to the first century, and you wanted to find your brother. You may have an idea where he might be, but what's the easiest way to do it? Well, you bring out your iPhone and you dial his number, or you text him. Peter, where are you? Simon, where are you? Not in the first century. You can do that today. Not in the first century. He had to literally go, and he had to walk, and he had to look, and he had to find his brother. There was a finding. There was a finding. And there's then this implication that we need to be those who are persistent. This word finding indicates he had to look. He didn't think, the next time I see him, I'll tell him. He went out and he put the effort in. And dear believer, when you seek to evangelize for Christ, you need to put the effort in. It is a hard work. It is a difficult work. It is a work that Satan is against. The Greek word for brought in verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. It also shows persistency. It comes from a Greek word which means to drive, to lead by laying hold of, to lead by accompanying. And so this word indicates that Andrew, he led his brother. He brought his brother, maybe not as intense as putting his brother over his shoulder and carrying him, but he was heavily involved in influencing his brother to come. It wasn't just come and see the Savior, okay, but there was a little bit more emphasized here by the Greek that he had to put in some effort and he had to be persistent in bringing his brother to Christ. And dear believer, that is a lesson for you and I, because in the work of evangelism, we need to be faithful and we need to be persistent. It is a work that the devil is against. It is a work that the devil seeks to hinder. It is a work that the devil seeks to disrupt. And we need to be faithful for our Savior. It is a labor. And we need persistency, a holy, unrelenting, God-glorifying determination to seek the salvation of souls. We can think of Christ and the apostles and the heart of the reformers, the passion of the Puritans, they were persistent. If the reformers were not persistent in believing the truths of the gospel and in preaching those truths and persistent through their problems and their trials that came upon them because they preached the truth, where would the church of Christ be today if we turned at the first sign of trouble? And as believers, as we seek to evangelize, we need to be persistent. Oh, the work of evangelism, it can be discouraging. Few can come in. Few will want to listen. Family members may be the worst to listen to because they will mock you and cast scorn upon you. But dear believer, do not be discouraged. Be persistent. The Apostle Paul was one who was persistent. He endured many great things for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Timothy 2 verse 10, he says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." The apostle endured all things for the sake of the gospel of Christ. Dear believer, as we endure for the cause of the gospel, you may endure mockery, you may endure scorn. What are these things in light of the glorious and marvelous gospel that we have? Are we not desirous to suffer for Christ, to live for our Savior in such a way that we bear the scorn of this world? Richard Baxter was one who was persistent. He said that he preached as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men. He visited the homes within his parish. He sought to tell them the gospel of Christ. Many were converted through his labors in the gospel. He was one who was persistent. Thomas Brooks, another Puritan, said, "Next to thy salvation, thy soul's salvation, O Christian, should be the salvation of others." Reaching out with the gospel. And when we think of persistency is something that is needed today. We need to be persistent. Why? Because the human heart is hard. Sin has blinded the mind. It has dulled the conscience. And we're not to give up at the first sign of struggle. We're to keep going. We're reminded of spiritual warfare against Satan. Evangelism is spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We think of the example of old believers. And history teaches us that often there can be times of barrenness and times of weakness and times of tears, but there can be those times of abundant blessing and harvest. And we are reminded that the people of God in times of hardship were still persistent for Christ. They did not give up. We can think of love. Love does not give up easily. If we truly love souls, we will not just be content with saying, "Will you read this invitation? Will you come to church?" No. Okay, then, let's move on. Be persistent. Be those who pray. We're to pray continually. We're to speak continually. We're to love sacrificially. We're to wait expectantly. The work of evangelism is a work that needs patience and it needs much prayer. The Word of God reminds us, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Andrew first findeth his own brother. Fourthly, I want you to see that his faith led to a proclamation to souls. His faith led to a proclamation to souls. If we have a concern for others, then what is the crux of the matter? It is that we will want to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ to others. John 1 verse 41, what did Andrew say to Simon? "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. This is the substance of the message that Andrew gave Peter. We have found the Christ. And going back to these days, to find the Messiah, to find the Savior, was of vital importance. The Savior, the Messiah, had been promised. Israel lurked for the coming of the Messiah. And to find the Savior, to find that Messiah had come, was the most important discovery any Jew could make during this period. There was great excitement in the heart of Andrew because he had found the Savior. And he wanted to tell that message. He wanted to proclaim Christ. What a message it is. Mark reminds us, Mark's gospel, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Reminding us that this whole world is not enough. If we neglect the salvation of Christ, we lose our souls. And therefore, the matter of the salvation of the soul is a vital matter. It is something that must be considered. And as Andrew came, he proclaimed the very clear message of the gospel of Christ. Without Christ, he had no message. And dear believer, without the Savior, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no message of hope. You have no message of peace. You have no message worth telling others about. And the message of the gospel is a message that is to be preached. One theologian many years ago, I can't remember who said it, but they said about the importance of the gospel of Christ and spreading the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And their emphasis was, by your life, you should be showing forth the gospel of Christ. But if necessary, use words. Now, I feel that the gospel of Christ is most necessary to be preached. We're to preach the gospel. We have to use words to do that. We can't neglect the importance of preaching and explaining through the use of words. But in our lives and in our attitudes and how we go about our daily business, it should all be gospel-centered, should it not? We will use words to present the gospel of Christ. But our actions and our words should support that. Often in our lives, we tell others the gospel of Christ, but maybe something happens that makes them wonder about our sincerity regarding that gospel. We can tell them the importance of Christ and the importance of coming to the house of God to hear the word of God. And imagine someone is telling you the importance of the gospel, the importance of Christ, and will you come to church to hear my pastor and to hear the gospel? And you're in agreement, yes, I'll come. This message is so vital and so important. When will I come? And the person says, well, I'll take you on Sunday evening because Sunday morning I'm going to the Buddhist temple, or I'm going to this place, or I'm going to the mosque or something like that. And you're thinking, if this message is so important, why are you going to these other places that obviously have no message? What you're saying and doing isn't supporting the message. And we can do that with the words we say, the attitude we have, with how we go about our lives. We can speak the words about Christ. And then our actions and our attitudes can tear that message apart. Because if we truly believe the gospel of Christ, it affects our attitudes. It gives us a loving heart. It gives us a gracious heart. It is a message that affects our souls completely. We're to preach it. We're to live it out. We're to be witnesses, no one in red, of all men. And Andrew, the content of this message that Andrew gave was a message that was focused upon Christ. There is no message, no true gospel message that is focused on anything else other than the Savior. Andrew emphasized that we have found the Christ, we found the Anointed One, we found the One in whom there is salvation. And that the true evangelist, the true message of the gospel, proclaims Christ as the exclusive Redeemer. There is no salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear believer, as you seek to evangelize, Christ is to be the center of your message. The center of your message. This message involved a personal testimony that was rooted in truth. Andrew says, we have found. This is personal. Something that he experienced. He knew from his experience that Christ is the Messiah. And the gospel must be proclaimed by the evangelist. It must be proclaimed by you, dear believer, as something that is true. You have to believe it. You have to speak with authority. You have to speak as if that message is absolutely true and certain, because it is. That is the attitude we're to have. If I were to get up here and say, well, as we come to the house of God today, as we come to the Word of God, well, you know, maybe you should turn to Christ. It might be a good thing. And I begin to stumble and and trip over my words and trying to tell you to turn to Christ and to believe the gospel, and there's hesitation, and you come away wondering, does the pastor actually believe what he's trying to say? Does he believe there's salvation in Christ alone? He's not speaking with authority. He's not speaking with his heart in it. He's not speaking convincingly that I need to turn from sin and trust Christ. He doesn't fully believe this, or he's acting as if he doesn't fully believe this. Something is wrong. Dear believer, when we speak of our Savior, we're not to speak hesitantly. We're not to speak without any confidence in the message. Yes, nerves may be another thing altogether, but there's boldness and there's confidence in the message of Christ, and that must come across, that we believe and truly believe. Why? Because of our personal testimony. One of the great ways to witness to others is simply to tell them what Christ has done in your life. How is Christ real? How is the gospel true? Well, let me tell you. I lived and I committed this sin and that sin, and I had no peace and no assurance. And I heard the message of the gospel, and I heard about my sin, and the fear of God entered into my heart. And I saw the Savior as revealed in His Word, the one who is the Redeemer, the one who is the Lamb of God, the one who died for my sins. And I turned in repentance and trusted Him. And I know, and I believe, and I know my life has been changed. Here is my life before I was saved. Here is my life after. What a change the Savior has made. And one of the best ways of evangelism is just telling others what Christ has done. Very simply. And this is what Andrew did. He says, we found Him. We found the Messiah. There's a personal experience being related. The message of the gospel invites a response. We see what Andrew says here. We have found the Messiah. So what is the response of Peter to be? Well, He came. He came. Dear unbeliever today, what is your response to be to the gospel of Christ? You're to come. You're to turn from sin. You're to believe that message. You're not to be ashamed of that message. You're to come and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of Scripture, the message of the gospel, it demands a response. It demands a response. What is your response to the message of the gospel today? Is it a response of neglecting, turning away, of ignoring? Is it a response of thinking that you know better? Imagine Peter here responding and saying, Andrew, you've lost the plot. Andrew, you're crazy. Andrew, go away. He came and he saw the Savior, and he came to know Christ as his Savior. There has to be a response, because on the day of judgment, you are judged based on your response to the gospel of Christ. What think ye of Christ? Have you turned from sin? Are you trusting in the Savior? Has He paid for your sins? Or will you be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing, cast into hell because of your sin? Oh, that you would respond to the gospel. Respond like Peter and embrace the Savior and turn from sin. Dear believer, there's to be a response to the gospel. There's to be a response to the preaching of the Word. When we think of our need and our duty to evangelize, that message is not to be lost upon us. We're to go home and we're to consider our own hearts. Do we have true faith in Christ? Is that evangelistic heart living for Christ and seeking to win others for the Savior? Is that part of my life that comes from my faith in Christ? Is my passion for souls and my desire to see my family won for Christ and my desire to see others won for Christ, is that desire truly there within my heart? Go home, examine yourself. Desire to be a witness for Christ where He has placed you. May the Lord indeed speak to all of our hearts through His Word today. Amen. For you.
Spurgeon brings us today to Psalm 97 and the verse 1. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Cause for disquietude, there are none so long as this blessed sentence is true. On earth, the Lord's power as readily controls the rage of the wicked as the rage of the sea. His love as easily refreshes the poor with mercy as the earth with showers. Majesty gleams in flashes of fire amid the tempest's horrors. And the glory of the Lord is seen in its grandeur in the fall of empires and the crash of thrones. In all our conflicts and tribulations, we may behold the hand of the divine King. God is God, he sees and hears all our troubles, all our tears. Soul, forget not mid thy pains, God o'er all for ever reigns. In hell, evil spirits own with misery his undoubted supremacy. When permitted to roam abroad, it is with a chain at their heel. The bit is in the mouth of Behemoth, and the hook in the jaws of Leviathan. Death's darts are under the Lord's lock, and the grave's prisons have divine power as their warder. The terrible vengeance of the judge of all the earth makes fiends cower and tremble, even as dogs in the kennel fear the hunter's whip. Fear not death nor Satan's thrusts. God defends who in him trusts. Soul, remember in thy pains, God o'er all for ever reigns. In heaven, none doubt the sovereignty of the King Eternal, but all fall on their faces to do him homage. Angels are his courtiers, the redeemed his favourites, and all delight to serve him day and night. May we soon reach the city of the great King. For this life's long night of sadness, he will give us peace and gladness. Soul, remember in thy pains, God o'er all forever reigns. Thank you for joining with us today. We trust that the ministry of the Word of God has been a blessing to your soul. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.